Are you looking for ways to attract and retain private pay clients? Thrizer is a payment platform for therapists built to help clients automatically tap into their out-of-network benefits and save on therapy up front. Check out our special link, join.thrizer.com/modern therapist, and use the code modernTherapists to activate $2,500 in free payments with Thrizer.
Therapy Notes, the number one trusted EHR among mental health professionals, just keeps getting better and better. With legendary customer support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they're giving you all the tools you need to succeed, whether you're a solo clinician or a group practice. Try them free for 2 months using promo code MODERN today.
You're listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide, where therapists live, breathe, and practice as human beings. To support you as a whole person and a therapist, here are your hosts, Kurt Widhelm and Katie Vernoy.
Welcome back, Modern Therapists. This is the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. I'm Kurt Widhelm with Katie Vernoy, and this is the podcast for therapists about the things that we do in our practices, the things that we do with our clients, the kind of overall modern world around therapy and all of that kind of stuff. And Katie and I were recently talking about what should we do as far as podcast topics? And I had thrown out the idea of like, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, therapists should be in therapy. Like, you know, we tell grad students go into therapy, this kind of stuff. And I was like, but what are we hoping that they actually get out of therapy? Like, this is generally good advice, but what is it specifically? And Katie was like, you know that we're interviewing Casey Compton, right? And she's got a book that's like really just about this. So that's not all we're talking about today, but we are joined today by Casey Compton, author, entrepreneur, LPCC, and getting real vulnerable about all sorts of stuff. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me and for remembering or knowing, Katie, that I wrote a book about this.
Well, I know your book's coming out. I think when we air this, your book's coming out tomorrow. So this is great timing for folks to be able to pre-order real quick or hop on the bandwagon and grab it right after it comes out. But you were very kind, or your assistant, I think, was very kind and sent us a PDF kind of pre-published book. And oh my gosh, I will probably continue to gush, but I was reading it and I was like, this is really, really good. I am a reader. I love reading and it's really, really good. So anyway, we'll get you started with a question we ask all our folks, and just so glad to finally have you on the podcast, Casey. You know, you and I have had some great conversations over the years. And so it's good to actually get you on the podcast and talking with us. The question we ask everyone is, who are you and what are you putting out into the world?
I am a mom, an author, an entrepreneur, you know, all the things. I'm kind of all the things like all the rest of us. And for a very long time, I kind of thought my superpower was business and systems, and maybe that's one component of it. And so for a long time, I did that work. And then I really kind of went in the opposite direction. And I was like, something's missing here. Like, I don't know what it is, but something's missing. And so I started doing a lot of internal work and going through a lot of changes and figured out what that was. And that was that feeling of fulfillment. And it's so important to me now to not only put out tangible, practical things about business, but also connecting with people on a more personal, vulnerable level and reminding them that loving themselves, finding joy, creating space within their lives to enjoy what they have is just as important as all of the shiny objects that you're going to chase.
I mean, this is a big departure from all the group practice stuff, the Mindsight Partners stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about what led you down this path?
Yeah. Well, for a long time, I was just like full steam ahead, you know, like blinders on, focused on goals, business growth, all of these things. And it really just kind of lit me up. I was on fire to succeed and do things and build a life for myself and my family and my kids that we had never experienced before. But I kept finding myself like reaching goals and doing things that I set out to do and then getting there and then instantly looking on again for the next thing. And so I just like, I wanted, just as an example, I worked really hard, generated revenue, saved money for a few years, was able to buy a beach house down in South Carolina. And that's like one of my dreams. And when I got there, and like my kids are around and everything, like instead of just sitting there and just being fulfilled, I was just thinking, wonder how much it would take to sell this one, reinvest in another one that's one street closer to the beach. Like constantly just like going. And I was just missing out on so much joy. And despite the fact that I started to recognize it and I wanted to feel like in the moment, I just couldn't do it. So that was kind of the start of the journey for me.
In your book, you talk a lot about getting to self-love, authenticity, this kind of stuff, like kind of pulling the curtain back a little bit. Katie and I, we've been podcasting for going on 7 years now. So there's a lot of topics that we cover. And we had originally kind of thought that this was an episode around like burnout. And we had talked behind the scenes of like, we don't want this just to be another burnout episodes. Like there's plenty of stuff in our catalog in the past. There's plenty of other places. This one feels different in that you're actually quite open about the work that you do to get there. Like there's kind of that speak to these goals. And I hear you. I see you. I see a lot of that in myself as far as just kind of, so this is a little bit maybe just asking for my own advice, but like talk about the work that you went through to move from it's about getting to goals to actually getting to that self-love part of the authenticity. Cause I know I sure can fake authenticity when it comes to like, yes, yes. But then I go back to goals and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Let me take it kind of back to the book because I think that will help me answer your question a little bit better. So in the very first chapter of the book,
And the book, by the way, is called In Search of You. Like we haven't said that yet. So
it is called In Search of You. It started out just throughout the whole writing process being called searching for something because I can't name things very well. I struggle with it. So I was like, I'm just going to call it what it feels like. And then we'll figure all that stuff out later. So it was really about from the beginning, like, a quest to search for something. And I think we all do it, but we just don't always know what it is that we're searching for. And it's a feeling, I think, but we think we get it from, you know, being an entrepreneur or creating the next business or reaching the next financial goal or whatever. But to answer your question, one of my editors who was helping me through this process, she was like, listen, I need you to start this book in the middle of all of the action. Like I need to be right there at that epiphany moment where your light bulbs just go off and like everything is different for you. And I just need you to put me in that scene. It was actually the launch of my first book, Fix This Next, that all of that happened, which should have been this amazing, happy, exciting time. It was like the one thing I'd always wanted to do was publish a book, and here I am doing it. But I had all these secrets that wasn't appropriate to tell anybody that was going on at that time. And so I had all these people in my house and I'm having to pretend that I'm happy and I'm not, because I'm secretly going through a divorce. I've got all of this chaos going on in my life. And it was just totally nuts. And, you know, during that time, I just remember thinking like, I should be on top of the world right now. Like this should just feel amazing. And it felt like nothing, like literally nothing. And then when I start going back through other big events or other big things that happened success-wise, it wasn't the feeling that I had wanted. Right after that launch party, I got in a big fight with my ex, soon-to-be ex at that time. And the one thing he looked at me like straight in the face and he was like, you're fucked up. You need therapy. And in the moment, I was just like, well, you do too, you know? whatever. But then afterward, when he was gone, when everybody was gone, and I was just at home by myself, I was thinking, I probably do. Like, I probably do. And so that's kind of how it started. And I really did some research, tried to find a good therapist for me, and set off on this journey. And I didn't know at that time. It wasn't like, hey, I'm going to write a book about this.
Sure.
Like, it's not what was happening. But as I started going through therapy, I started journaling and writing. And that was how I was processing my therapy sessions and processing, you know, trauma, processing memories that I had blocked out in the past and just all this stuff. And so ultimately, that writing turned into this book. So most of the stories that are in there were written in real time as I was actually excavating and healing and, you know, in all of the good and the bad. It was all real time.
Thrizer is a payment platform designed for out-of-network therapy. As a therapist, you would use Thrizer to charge clients for sessions and collect your full rate upfront. From the client's perspective, Thrizer links to their health plan, so insurance claims are automatically submitted for them upon every charge. From there, Thrizer manages the claims end-to-end so that your clients don't have to worry about manually submitting super bills or getting on calls with insurance. The best part? Thrizer allows clients to only pay their co-insurance portion for sessions, while Thrizer covers the rest of your fee and waits for reimbursement on their behalf.
They also offer you an instant benefits calculator for free, allowing you to provide upfront transparency to prospective clients on their out-of-network coverage. Therapists only pay a standard 3% credit card processing fee per session with no additional fees. Visit join.thrizer.com/modern therapist to get started and use our promo code Modern Therapists to receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions. It's so vulnerable. I mean, the things that I read, and I definitely read the first section and started kind of picking through it. I'm like, oh, I got to go back and read this straight through. This is amazing. But it's really vulnerable. It's really personal. I mean, the opening scene where you're talking about, I don't know how to describe it. You do a great job in the book. And so I'm not saying that I can't describe it because you didn't do it. But I really resonated with this idea of being present in this like amazing peak moment and feeling, I think you said dissociated at one point. You also said like frozen or disconnected or that kind of stuff, and just not being able to connect to the success, and that process of identifying that chasing success was how you avoided your emotions and all this stuff. And so I want to go and talk about that because that's super resonant. And I know that this is something that probably a lot of therapists and a lot of high achievers, you call them seekers in your book, but I've called them sacrificial helpers in the past, where the achievement is around helping others. But I think a lot of us can really resonate with that. And so I feel like I've now lost track of what I was going to ask. So I'll leave it to you, but like, it's very vulnerable and it's also very resonant. And I think both of those things are worthy conversations to have about, you know, kind of what you can offer with your experience in writing the book.
Yeah. Pull me back on this if you think of what you wanted to ask. So in that moment, we're in the middle of the launch party, and some of my mentors, we have like a big television in the living room, and we Zoomed them in. So I had people physically there, but then I had Mike McCallowitz and Jeffrey Shaw and Laura Stone, AJ Harper, who helped me edit the last book, pop on screen. And one of the first things that AJ did was she just kind of looked at me like she does. And she said, in front of everyone, like, I'm so proud of you. And like, it just made me shrivel and cringe, like this totally opposite response that any human being should have. I was just like, ooh. After everything kind of settled down and I started therapy, that was one of the things that was on my mind. Like, why did it have that effect on me? Like, why did someone telling me that they were proud make me feel that way. And it, you know, one of the things that was so impactful with therapy, but just in writing the book too, was creating my timeline of my life. And looking back, I could never remember anyone ever saying those words to me. And then as I kept going back and back and back, I was able to list out just interactions that I used to have with my grandparents and what a big part they played in my life and how they were very involved. And he was the deacon in a Southern Baptist church. And, you know, she was like the little sewing circle lady. And I was always in church. And everything that I was able to connect from childhood to any kind of positive affection or love or affirmation was related to me being good. And so I think, like, from this early age, I was programmed that the only way you're going to find that love and hold on to it is if you're doing something to please others. And I noticed, like, how that trickled into my role as a therapist, how that was a part of my role as a business owner. Like, I was just seeking love. I don't know, I'm just going to pause there, I guess, just because making that connection. And then I was able to go back to what AJ said, like, I'm proud of you. No wonder that felt so weird. That wasn't like a normal part of my life growing up. And it's just not how my family operated. So it was just different for me.
In being successful, you know, multi 6-7 figure businesses, you know, huge group practice, consulting other group practice owners, being a therapist yourself. I mean, this is after that. This is insight and awareness and work that you've done after that. And so I think the question was around, what was it like before and what is it like after, where you're not having to put on this facade of this successful, caring, put together person versus now when you can actually be more fully embodied?
I feel now more. So before, when I say the word authentic, in my mind, it means just real. Okay. Like, it just is, you're transparent. It's just real. I've always been authentic, but I haven't always felt comfortable being vulnerable, if that makes sense. So now it's different for me because I feel like I'm not running from vulnerability and from emotion and from, I feel more balanced now than I did before, because before I just kind of felt like I had to just keep going, because if I stopped, I would have to deal with reality of like emotions and trauma and, you know, all those things. So the work just kept me avoidant of all of the stuff that I needed to do. Now I don't necessarily feel that way. Now it's more of like, I have different relationships in my life now because of this. I have the bandwidth and the space to be able to have different types of conversations with people, which I could not have had this conversation with you all 5 years ago. I would have been so uncomfortable, like crawling under the desk. So to answer that question, sort of, I mean, it's just changed me in so many ways. And people that I haven't like had a face-to-face or Zoom, a virtual face-to-face conversation with, like Maureen and I mean, we've been friends for a long time, but I haven't really sat down and talked to her in a couple years. And I met with her a few weeks ago and she was like, wow, something's really different about you, you know, and other people noticed it before I did. And I think it was just me giving myself permission to work on things, to accept things about myself, to seek out answers for questions that I always have.
I want to know about your process with doing this publicly. that there's so much that goes into manicuring a persona as a business owner, of needing to have kind of this quasi-authenticity, this quasi-vulnerability, this cultivated aspect that we put out there. You are dealing with is just publicly dealing with shame and kind of not giving shame so much power in this. And I'm curious about your decision-making process to do this in this way, so that, you know, you're talking about all of these wonderful benefits and the things that people notice. And I'm super happy for you in that. For people who haven't been through that process to get to the other side, can you talk about just even like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought that for a good solid year and a half. Honestly, to be quite honest, I started working, like I said, I was journaling and doing all these things and for myself. Then it kind of became, oh, like this might be a book. And then it became, oh, this is a book, but now I'm not sure I'm even going to publish it. but so that was kind of going on. And I talk about this a lot. And I don't know if you all read this or know this or anything, but you know, I'm in a really small Christian town. They call it the Bible Belt of Kentucky, the area that I live in. It's very, very like my children go to a private Christian school. They're not allowed to wear open-toed shoes. Like, I mean, I'm talking, you name it, you imagine it, it's probably what I'm dealing with here. And so just the divorce alone caused chaos for me personally in my hometown. I lost a lot of friends over it. I lost a lot of employees over it. Then when they found out that I was dating a female, that really rocked their world around here. We couldn't really go out in public for a long time, and we did, but it was kind of scary. We had people following us. We had people videoing us. My children were being bullied at school. It was really, really hard. And I think it's just kind of I don't know what you call it. I'm very headstrong, and I don't take to bullying very well. It doesn't matter if it's me or anyone that's being mistreated that way. And it took a lot of soul searching, because I was just thinking, like, what would I do if this were my best friend that this was happening to? How would I react? How would I help? What words of advice would I give? And I just tried to take that advice for myself. And I'm like, you know what? We're just going to make it public. Like, we just like let the banner out. Like, let's you name it. I was just like, yeah, this is what it is. And I think once I just really started embracing the changes in my life, whether they were what people wanted or not, they started to perceive me differently. I mean, imagine me walking into a Christian school and like, this was awful. Like, having to tell my daughter's teacher that I'm dating a woman, and the children in your class are bullying my daughter and telling her she's going to hell because of her mother's choices. Like, this was like, it was rough. It was rough. So I think just embracing that and really thankfully doing the work to learn to love myself for the first time allowed me the opportunity to just say, I don't care if you like me or not, because I'm okay, independent of how you feel about me. And that's something I've never been able to do before.
Not only does Therapy Notes combine billing, scheduling, notes, secure messaging, group telehealth, and more into one streamlined platform, they're also always adding new features and forms to their library. So no matter your specialty, Therapy Notes has you covered.
Learn more at therapynotes.com and use promo code MODERN for 2 months free. I think about the professional aspect of that too, because it sounds like personally it was so horrific to be in your town and be so vulnerable. But I also, you know, my initial impressions of the Casey Compton were of this very successful businesswoman who had everything together and who, you know, with these huge businesses, so many amazing resources. And I think about just having to hold that persona and then also sharing all of these things and how hard that would be too. I mean, it seems like on two levels and very different things that people were having problems with. Did you get any responses from the professional community as you were sharing some of your journey? Because I've seen you share little bits of it. And obviously, I think you have a podcast called Back Porch Besties. And so I'm sure there's more and more of your stuff coming out. But like, have you experienced that? Are you concerned about that when the book comes out, that there's professional things that are going to happen to you as well?
So the work that I've done in professional circles, like within in the consulting realm, have been so overwhelmingly positive. I don't know that I could have got through this whole process without all of those practice owners that just kind of had my back. So that's been wonderful. I think the worst of it has already come about in like my own personal business, the group practice. So I don't think that the book is really going to tell them anything that they haven't already concocted in their head. But I just, Friday is the grand opening of another business that I started here 2 months ago, a pottery studio. And just, you know, the approach that I've taken with that has been complete boldness and, like, hey, here's my chamber membership. I'm in a relationship with a female. Like, I mean, so on the face, if you don't like it, don't accept my application. Like, I mean, just full on, this is what it is. I really don't care. We have feminist postcards over there. You just like it or you don't really care. So I don't really anticipate much of that. I do anticipate some backlash with my ex because, I mean, of course, I don't talk about him a lot in the book. It's all about me, but you know how people are. They're still going to think it's about them. But I try not to worry about it because one of the things I worked on in therapy for a very long time was my therapist said, you know, have you ever tried to detach yourself from outcomes? And I was like, no. I'm a business owner. No, I very much attach to outcomes. She was like, can you imagine what your life would look like if you weren't? And I was like, no. And so I've really practiced that. And if people are upset, I'm not attached to that outcome. So that's on them, not me. So that's been a big one. It's been a big takeaway.
As you're going through this process, is you're, you know, kind of moving into this confidence, like there seems to be a part of this process that we all need to get through to get to the other side. And it's not a step that can really be faked. It's not one that can be bypassed a whole lot. What is your advice for people as far as addressing this step? I mean, it's something that, like, you know, we tell especially like young therapists, like, oh, you got to be in therapy. A lot of grad programs tell students, you got to go to therapy. You know, this is kind of getting to that question of like, what is it that step is to like get in and actually face it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you 100% need a support system. I'll say that because like I said to you, Katie, I mean, if I wouldn't have had some key supports during this process, this would have been impossible probably for me to get to that other side. And to answer your question, Kurt, like I have a team of therapists right now that in my practice that I'm leading, and every week I have meet with them, and sometimes it's coaching about like scheduling in strategic ways, and some, you know, they're baby therapists, so they're still learning a lot, and I try to teach them it. But one thing I've been working on with them here recently is just more of a holistic approach. Like, let's talk about who you are. what do you believe in? And how does that align with what you're doing professionally? And how do you know that you are a trauma-focused therapist? How do you know that you truly just believe CBT works? Like, you know, so I'm really probing them to go deeper and explore their own attachment styles with their families, their own communication styles. And I think for people who are trying to get through this process, that, yeah, going to therapy is important, but I think you have to start mapping out your life. And the way I did it that seemed to work best for me was just starting where I was then and going backward as far as I could and categorizing things on my timeline that were big events, big things like births, deaths, marriages, moves, like easy things that I could remember, thinking about the emotions that were attached to each of those things. And then as I started doing more work through therapy and learning about myself and noticing things, then I started to fill in that timeline with little things like the smells that would cause a reaction for me. The like why I stopped painting and drawing. Like when did that stop? And so I think just getting it out of our heads and onto paper, whether that's through drawing out timelines, journaling or whatever, and then having someone there to help talk through that and try to figure it out and make meaning, looking for patterns, themes. I just learned so much about myself that was like hidden in all of these little things across my timeline. Everything from how I get triggered, like my heart will start racing faster if I see if the person that I'm with or I see someone like carrying a suitcase. Why I never walk around without shoes or socks on? Why my kids had no pajamas? Like all these little things. Once I just like, I don't know, it was just like a light bulbs came on and I started thinking, oh my gosh, this all makes perfect sense because this happened right after this. And every time something like this happens, this is what I do. So I think it's just about really going deep and understanding who we are and having the support to help get us through it.
With a lot of therapists, there's, you know, like a requirement for some, not as much anymore, for to go to through therapy or a strong suggestion to do so. And when you're talking about it and in reading the book and the parts I was able to get to, it feels like you're showing what therapy can be in that book. And it seems like it's super helpful for folks, you know, like clients or people, lay people out in the world who are afraid of therapy, don't know what it's looking like, and they can kind of jump in there and start walking through it. I think for therapists, which a lot of our audience is, as I was reading it, there was so much that was resonant and there was so much that I realized that even in my own therapy, I hadn't done this work or I hadn't done it recently. And so it was something where I feel like being able to really look at your life is and really understand it and understand the impacts are important for every human. How do you think it works for therapists? Like, what do you think therapists need to get out of this process to be able to really, whether it's a sustainable career, whether it's being a better therapist, like what is it that's needed? You know, and this may be too broad of a question, but what do you think is needed for therapists in this?
The first thing that comes to my mind when you ask that question is balance. Therapists are the worst at going unbalanced, you know, like we're putting everyone before ourselves most of the time. We feel like we have to sacrifice everything to help other people, whether it's like other therapist employees of ours or whatever, you know, our clients' needs. And we think that sacrifice is necessary for success. Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's just one of the little lies or one of the little tricks that we tell ourselves to push harder so that we keep going and push harder. And I think for therapists, it's really important just to have someone telling you and supporting you in that way that you can have both. You know, you can have success and you can have joy and self-love. You don't have to sacrifice yourself or your business or for, you know, your practice. That's kind of where my head went when you asked that question.
Tell us more about where people can find you, where they can find the book, all of the wonderful book launching things, and continuing to see you on your journey through this.
Oh, well, you can find me online. You can find me on social, on probably social is the easiest way. The book is practically everywhere. It's being distributed by Penguin Random House, so it will go all over. You can grab it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Joseph Beth, like any of the major retailers. We're hoping to get it in as many indie bookstores as we can as well. A lot of times it's just if you are in a smaller town or if you're not in a small town, but you have a cute little bookstore that you love, give them a call, shoot them an email, say, hey, can you carry this book? And they can do it that way. So I would say it'll be pretty easy to find. We have a lofty goal of selling 10,000 books by launch day. So anyone that thinks that this book would help serve them, I would appreciate a purchase so that we can try to hit that goal. I'm a little nervous. I set the goal and then afterward I was like, uh-oh. I don't know.
But you're letting go of the outcome, right? You're disconnecting from the outcome.
I am.
So who is this book for? I think we didn't actually say that part.
Yeah, this book is for women who find themselves over-functioning, whether that be in motherhood, whether that be in their career, in any capacity, they're constantly trying to do more. And the subtitle is How to Find Joy When Doing More Isn't Doing It Anymore. So when you're just burnt out, like you're just tapped out, you've done it all, you just need more, you need to feel more, but you don't have any energy left to do more.
Yeah, I think the thing that I was trying to get to before is just the weight of carrying the persona, the helper, the achiever, and that you just, it's hard to lift. And I just felt that so viscerally in reading the first chapter of just that I am put together, but it is all a facade. I am carrying this thing and I don't have the strength to carry it anymore. And I feel like to me, that is so important for so many folks, especially I think our fellow therapists. to think about, because seeing you go through the process, you know, obviously through the book, I think gave me permission to do a little bit more of my journey publicly too. And so I think it's really a fabulous book to read. I'd really recommend it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And we will include links to Casey's stuff in our show notes. You can find those over at mtsgpodcast.com. Follow us on our social media, join our Facebook group, the Modern Therapist Group. And until next time, I'm Kurt Widhelm with Katie Vernoy and Casey Compton. Remember to check out Thrizer. They are passionate about making out-of-network therapy work for everyone. Clients save upfront on therapy while therapists earn their full rate. Get started in minutes on join.thrizer.com/modern therapist and use the promo code Modern Therapists and receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.
Thanks so much to our partner, Therapy Notes, the highest rated practice management solution for behavioral health. Don't forget, using promo code MODERN gets you 2 free months.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. Learn more about who we are and what we do at mtsgpodcast.com. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes.